Let's open our Bibles to the book of Ruth. We're going to continue our study in the book of Ruth. Appreciate Brother Ray leading us in those songs. What a great song we just sang together as we're reminded of that beautiful home, that beautiful city. The book of Ruth is a great book in many, many ways. It really causes us to stop and think about God's redemptive plan. And as we think about God's plan, we see the Israelites were given prominence due to their role in God's redemptive plan. But the book of Ruth demonstrates God's love for the Gentiles. And I think as you study the Old Testament, we need to keep that thought in mind because, again, the primary focus is on how God used the Israelites to carry out His plan. And sometimes you can lose sight of the fact that God loved the Gentiles. And the book of Ruth reminds us of that great, great truth. As you stop and think about the book of Ruth, and we've mentioned some of these things before, but I believe it's important to continue to be mindful of these things because as we think about some of these important truths concerning Ruth, it really gives us a deeper appreciation of this great book. As you know, she was a descendant of Lot. And as we pointed out, as we look at her life, she came to trust the true and living God. We see statements in chapter 1, verses 16 and 17 that show us that trust. And then we'll notice even what Boaz says in chapter 2, verse number 17. Thou art come to trust God. That says something about this great woman. Now, as you stop and think about Ruth trusting in the grace of God, to me, that is the best explanation how she comes to Bethlehem and how she is among God's people. We notice some passages in the Old Testament that had forbidden that, but she obviously is welcome and she obviously is living among God's people. I believe you see an example again of her conversion and her trust in God's grace. But another great truth that stands out in this book is God's divine providence. And you see God's divine providence at work in Ruth's life and also in the life of Boaz and bringing them together. And we noted last week in our lesson in chapter 2, verse number 3, that Ruth is going to go out and she's going to gather food for her and Naomi. And guess where she ends up? She's in Boaz's field. It happens that she's in Boaz's field according to the text. And I believe we could infer that this didn't happen by mere accident. To me, this serves as an example of God's divine providence. And if you stop and think about God's divine providence, God's providence is both a delight and a mystery. Again, a delight and a mystery. A mystery in the fact that we can't put our finger on everything that is happening the way that it's happening. Perhaps it's providence. And so when it comes to providence, it boils down to this. You can believe in it and you can rely on it. Because that's what the Bible teaches about the providence of God. That God does work through His people. Again, God working behind the scenes. Now, we'll mention more about Ruth as the story goes on. But as we are studying the rest of chapter 2 tonight, and we're going to do quite a bit of reading. I do want to read this last section, but it's not going to hurt any of us because this is a great, great story to read. But we'll work through chapter 2 beginning at verse 4 through the rest of this chapter. And we're going to focus a little bit more now on Boaz. Before we read this, though, and as we think about Boaz, I believe it's worthy to mention something about his background that I believe is insightful. Again, just like Ruth, Boaz has a background. The mother of Boaz is Rahab. Now, as you stop and think about Ruth and Rahab, you'll see their names in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. And we notice already how God used these two women to bring about His plan in bringing His Son into the world. And again, it reminds us, whether you look at the story of Rahab or the story of Ruth, God is the God of all people. Not just the God of the Israelites, but the God of all people. And God in His sovereignty, again, used these women to carry out His plan. But what a great connection. You think about the story of Ruth. You think about the story of Rahab. Well, we're looking at her son. Now remember, Rahab is the one in the book of Joshua that hid the 12 spies before the people of God took the city of Jericho. Great, great story. And we learn a lot about Rahab. And Rahab is mentioned even in the New Testament in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. And so again, there's a lot that we can say about this woman. But again, the focus is now going to be on Boaz. And I believe that background helps us understand why he had no problem taking Ruth as his wife, as we'll see later on at the end of the story. But again, you see God's willingness to work with various people. One thing that we see about Boaz that stands out is that God used Boaz to be gracious, to extend grace to Ruth. He uses His people. He uses His servants to bring about good for others. And again, that is part of God's providence, how God works behind the scenes and how God can orchestrate things using natural law, but also using His people. And again, this story illustrates that. We see how gracious God was to Ruth and how He used Boaz to accomplish that kindness. Another thing that stands out somewhat as a background to the life of Boaz is, remember the time period. And sometimes we lose sight of the historical time period when we study various books of the Old Testament. And I believe it's important to keep in mind that this was during the period of the Judges. It was a very dark time for the people of God. The people of God were going through these cycles. At times they would be faithful, but their faithfulness wouldn't last. It's like what Hosea said in Hosea chapter 6, verse number 4. Your faithfulness is as the morning dew. It goes away. Well, that described God's people. They would be faithful, and then they would wander away from God. They would serve the enemy. God would raise up a judge. I'm thankful that there were people even during this time, during this dark time, during the period of Judges, like Boaz, that were still trying to be obedient to God's will. Now, as you're looking at this, you might say, well, where does it say that? Well, I believe it says it all over the text when you stop and think about what Boaz was doing with his fields. In other words, he wasn't harvesting everything. He was leaving part of the fields for the poor, for those who were in need according to the old law. You'll see that, I believe, in Leviticus chapter 19. Also, in other parts of the Old Testament, God giving His people a command concerning the harvest and what they were to harvest. That would be a matter of trusting in God, being faithful to God. And that's exactly what Boaz was doing during this time period. He was trying to be obedient to God's will, and you see that when he was harvesting his fields. And so I believe we could say that Boaz was one who knew the will of God. He was one who sought the will of God. He was one who was trying to live out the will of God. And you're going to see, beginning in verse number 4, his concern. And this is why he's such a great individual. And we'll note some points about Boaz as we go through this text. But as we look at verse number 4, as we begin reading, we're going to see his concern for his labors. Pick it up with me in verse number 4. "And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and said unto the reapers, The Lord be with you." That's the kind of guy Boaz was. Again, the Lord be with you. Note that about his character, because it's because of who he is that God is able to use him and to accomplish so many things. We're not talking about an ungodly man. We're not talking about somebody that was unrighteous. And you're going to see that in his words. You're going to see that in his comments. Not only to his reapers, but think about the comments that he's going to make to Ruth here in just a few minutes. "The Lord be with you." And they answered him, "The Lord bless thee." Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, "Whose damsel is this?" It's as if Boaz looked out into his field and his eyes came into contact with Ruth. We might say this was love at first sight. And a lot of people will say that from the book of Ruth about Ruth and Boaz, and this is the verse that you would point to. Obviously, as you read this chapter, down in chapter 2, verse number 11, Boaz obviously heard some things about Ruth. Probably going back into chapter 1, news spread throughout Bethlehem that Naomi has come home. And Naomi brought her daughter-in-law Ruth with her. People were talking about this. And so we shouldn't be surprised that Boaz would know something about it. And as he goes out to his field, he sees somebody. Somebody that perhaps he's not used to seeing. And he inquires. He wants to know, who is this stranger? By the way, that's exactly what Ruth is. She is a stranger. Remember, she is an outcast. She is from the area of Moab. And we see Boaz is interested. He wants to know more. And as you begin reading at verse number 6, from this point forward, his focus is now on Ruth. Now remember what we said about this story. And I don't believe there's anything wrong saying this. This is a love story. Here are two people that will fall in love with one another. Pick it up now, verse number 6. "And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, It is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now. And she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz to Ruth." Here's the first point that I want you to notice about Boaz. You see Boaz taking the initiative. Now we'll make application later on. But he took the initiative. By the way, that's not easy to do, is it? To make the initiative. To say something. And I remember at one time I was scared of girls. There was no way I would ever say anything. Well, here Boaz is going to take the initiative. He's going to say something. And so you'll notice this in verse 8. "Then Boaz said to Ruth, Hearest thou not my daughter?" A lot of scholars believe this phrase, "my daughter," suggests that Boaz was probably older than Ruth. Don't know that for sure, but it might be implied from the language that is used here in this context, "my daughter." And then he says, "Go not to glean another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens." Boaz doesn't want Ruth to go anywhere else. And again, I believe he has his eye on her. And I believe we can also infer from the text that Ruth was a very beautiful person to look at, to look upon. Look at verse 9. "And let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn." Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, "Why have I found grace in thine eyes, and thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger?" Well, as I said, Boaz, as we're about to read, heard some things about this great woman, this godly woman, that interested him, that got his interest. And he hears about the sacrifices that she makes on the behalf of her mother-in-law, Naomi. And this touches his heart. You see, these are the things that can make a difference. Just trying to be the right person. That's exactly what Ruth was doing. She is just trying to be the right person. And because she was trying to be the right person, she found the right person. I know as we talk to young people, we emphasize this over and over. You got to find the right person. You got to find the right person. I believe the emphasis needs to be on being the right person. And stop and think about that. You stop and be the right person. You strive to live the godly life. Do the right thing. And that's going to attract the right kind of person. And you see how this comes together. But again, we see that Boaz is very interested in this woman. He wants to protect her. You can see that he wants to provide for her. Again, he takes the initiative. And Ruth's asking the question, "Listen, I'm a stranger. Why are you being so kind to me? Why are you interested in me?" Well, let me show you what touched Boaz's heart. And let me show you why he's being so kind to her. Look at verse number 11. "And Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thy husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity. And thou art come unto a people which thou knewest not wheretofore. And the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." Again, this is what gets Boaz's attention. It's Ruth's actions. It's what she is doing on the behalf of her mother-in-law. The sacrifices that she is making. This Boaz hears this and it touches his heart. Isn't it wonderful to see people doing godly things? Isn't it wonderful to see people helping others that are in need? I believe Boaz makes a great statement, a statement that we should all be mindful of there in verse number 12. "The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given of thee." 1 Timothy chapter 5 is a great chapter to cross-reference, because Paul talks about the responsibility that we have toward our family members. And you read that context. That context has sacrifice written all over it. We should go out of our way to help our family members. And you know, when you read that context of 1 Timothy chapter 5, I think it would do well for the church to understand that. Because a lot of times when there's a need in the family, a lot of times that responsibility, and I realize this is a sensitive subject, but you read 1 Timothy chapter 5. That responsibility should first fall upon the family of that individual. Not upon the church, but upon the family of that individual. That's God's design. And God's the one that has put that all together. But you see, Paul goes on to explain, if that widow perhaps in the church that doesn't have any family members that are members of the body that are able to help her, then that responsibility falls upon the church. It would again do well for the church to think about those things and how God organized that and how God has given us instruction in those matters. There's a lot of wisdom in that. But when we provide for our own, 1 Timothy 5 verse number 8, remember Ruth chapter 2 verse number 12, you are doing a great work. Now if you know the book of Nehemiah, you know why I mention Nehemiah, because Nehemiah makes that statement. We are doing a great work. And you are. You're doing a great work when you help out your family members as God has instructed us. Well, as I said, this gets Boaz's attention. It's as if Boaz says, this is who I've been looking for. This kind of woman. In fact, her character, if you want to sum up her character is going to be talked about there in chapter 3. In chapter 3, verse number 11. I do thee that all that thou requirest, for all the city of thy people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. Boaz says, I'm going to do anything you want because I know what kind of woman you are. And I tell you what, a virtuous woman will touch a man's heart. Read the book of Ruth. You see how this is touching Boaz's heart. And so Boaz explains to her. Then in verse number 13, then she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thy handmaid, though I be not like one of thy handmaids. I know I'm a stranger. I know I'm an outcast. But you have been so kind to me. You've been so kind with your words. You see, we learn something else about Boaz. Not only does he take the initiative to talk to Ruth, Ruth now says something about Boaz and what kind of person Boaz was. He was one who spoke, we might say, words of wisdom. He was kind. He was helpful with his words. You see his words also to his reapers in chapter 2, verse number 4, the Lord be with you. Again, he spoke with words of wisdom. Now we're fixing to come back and make some application of what we see in Boaz's life. But let's continue to look at the text for time's sake. Then reading at verse number 14. Look at verse number 14 with me. And Boaz said unto her, at mealtime come thou hither and eat of the bread and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers and he reached her parched corn and she did eat and was sufficed and left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And I like what he then says in verse number 16. And oh, by the way, let some more fall out on the ground, right? Let her get plenty. I think he's wooing her perhaps. Look at verse 16. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, and she may glean them, and rebuke her not. Here's the third point I want you to notice about Boaz. Again, he took the initiative. He spoke with words of wisdom. But now, notice what he's doing in verse number 16. He's going the second mile. In other words, he's going beyond what the law said to do. The law said to do this. He went beyond that in a good way. He left more for her together. Again, that's the kind of person Boaz was. The kind of person that would go the second mile. Notice with me now verses 17 through 19. As you read this last part here with me tonight from chapter 2, we see Ruth is now going to labor with a happy and hopeful heart. And it's going to now make a difference in Naomi's life. Don't forget about Naomi. Don't forget about what she's been through. She's struggling, but Ruth is going to now make a difference. Boaz is now going to make a difference. I'll point that out here. Begin with me at 17. So she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, this man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. You see how Boaz is bringing Naomi new help? You know, if you're one that likes to write in your Bible by verse number 19, I want you to at least think about this. From bitterness to blessedness. From bitterness to blessedness. You remember how Naomi felt when she came back home? Chapter 1, verse number 20, the Lord has dealt bitterly with me. No longer does she sound bitter. She is blessed. And so from bitterness to blessedness. I don't think the Lord has forgotten about Naomi. And again, I believe the Lord is demonstrating patience with Naomi. I don't think the Lord's giving up on Naomi. I think God is using His people like Ruth, like Boaz, to comfort and to help Naomi, whose heart obviously is broken. But she now has new hope because of Boaz. And then verse number 20, Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, listen to the language. Remember what I said, from bitterness to blessedness. Blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. You see a change here, don't you? And Naomi said unto her, the man is a near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. And Ruth the Moabitess said, he said unto me also, thou shalt keep fast my young men until they have ended all of my harvest. And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good for my daughter that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of the barley of harvest and of the wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. Well, as you know, the story doesn't end. We're going to say more about Boaz as he will serve as a kinsman. And we'll talk more about that. That's such an important part to Boaz. But I want us to think about what we said about Boaz tonight. He took the initiative. He spoke with words of wisdom. And he went the second mile. Obviously, we can see those things in his life. But can we see those things in our life? Because those are great characteristics that really describe faithfulness. There are so many areas where we need to take the initiative, like evangelism, for example. In 1 Peter 3, verse number 15, we're to be ready always to give an answer. You know, if you're going to be evangelistic, you have to be wise. You have to sometimes build that door of opportunity. In Colossians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, Paul prayed for opportunities. Not only do we pray for opportunities, but sometimes we have to build that door. We have to take the initiative when we talk to people about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you realize as a peacemaker what that implies? It implies that we take the initiative. In Matthew chapter 18, verse number 15, if your brother sins against you, you go to him. You talk to him. You tell him his fault between me and thee, between you and him. You take the initiative if you're going to be a peacemaker. A lot of times what we do is we wait for the other person to make the first move. God says, don't do that. You are a peacemaker. That implies as much as lies within you, you live peacefully with all men. Romans chapter 19, verse number 14. And then we see also, if as we think about taking the initiative, God took the initiative with us, and that should motivate us to take the initiative with others. We love God because He first loved us, according to 1 John chapter 4, verse number 19. The second point we said about Boaz is he spoke words of wisdom. The book of Proverbs has a lot to say about the words that we speak. In Proverbs 15, verse number 1, a soft answer will turn away wrath. You realize what you say can make all of the difference in the world. A man has joy by the answer of his lips. Proverbs 15, verse number 23. And also Proverbs 25, verse number 11. The Apostle Paul talks about the words that we speak. And they need to be words of wisdom. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 and 32, Paul says, let all bitterness, let all wrath, let all anger, let all clamor, let all evil speaking be put away from you, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. Again, be like Boaz. Speak words of wisdom. And then like Boaz, as we think about living the Christian life, be sure that you go the second mile. Because when you go the second mile, you never know who you might influence. Because Boaz went the second mile, he is now influencing a woman who is hurting. A woman who is bitter. Because of his actions, again, we see bitterness turned into blessedness by going the second mile. Jesus talks to us about that in Matthew chapter 5, verse number 21. If somebody compels you to go 1 mile, you go with him too. You realize that's in the Sermon on the Mount. And in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is teaching us how to be the ideal disciple. You want to be an ideal disciple of Jesus Christ? Then we need to learn to go the second mile. To do more than what God expects. And again, as Boaz says, when we do that, when we go the second mile, the Lord will reward us. Great lessons for from a great, great book tucked away right here, right after the book of Judges. Let me encourage you to be reading Ruth chapter 3, even chapter 4, as we talk a little bit more about Boaz. The lesson is yours tonight. If we can help you to be the person that God wants you to be, please come forward right now as we stand and as we sing.